We continue in our series of spiritual health, and as I mentioned last week, we are going to look at our second part on just talking about spiritual health, and then we're going to continue on with so many other areas of health. We'll be looking at them, and our spiritual health is critical. You know, what does it take? Here's what we're doing. We are looking at what, and answering the question, what does transformed living look like? What is a transformed life? And we've been asked that question. You and I are living and we're thinking, so what does that really look like? And so we're beginning with spiritual health and answering the question, what does it take and what do we need? Now, just a quick review from last week. We laid some very important foundational things. We talked about there are a lot of life equations. And you might recall, life equation in Scripture is a conditional statement that has a premise and a promise. And they're if-then statements. There's a lot of statements in God's words that says, if you do this, then this will take place. And often we forget that. But it's pretty amazing that every time there's a promise, there's a premise. We begin to realize that God doesn't just leave us hanging. For example, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, I put in the parentheses, it's implied, then he is a new creation. So if you're in Christ, then guess what happens? You're new. Now, obviously, that should be logical that if you're not in Christ, then you're not new. And it goes on, says, all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Those are kind of promises that come to you and I from his word that says, when you receive, believe in Jesus and become a believer in Christ, then some pretty amazing things happen. So there's a premise and there's a promise. It's conditional. So as we continue, we talk about really number five, but number one for this morning, as we look at transformed living loves other believers. Kind of connects with Valentine's Day and all that goes on. Everyone enjoy your Valentine's Day, I hope, right? I saw some commercial for an un-Valentine's Day. Yeah, I think sometimes Valentine's Day can be quite a setup. It's exciting and can be a lot of fun, but also can be, I think, a little bit of a frustration for some people and all that it means. But not to mention that we're here to support Hallmark anyway, right? That's I just think if you, rather than spend money on cards you gave to Jesus, we could probably pay for this building and the one next door we're trying to purchase. Can you say amen to that? That would be pretty awesome. And by the way, we are still, those pledges are important, so make sure you bring those in. We're excited about as things are continuing. But our spiritual health requires us to learn how to love other believers. Matter of fact, the Word of God makes it absolutely clear, you must love other believers. I mean, this is one of those things that's not an option. You know, Scripture tells us, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And what's interesting in Scripture is that you and I can say we love one another, but the fact is Scripture requires us to demonstrate that love. See, that becomes a bit of the difficulty, is that on the one hand, we can clearly say, I love you. In the name of Jesus, boy, I just have great love for you. But then the Word says we're required to have some kind of a demonstration. The practice, the actual doing of love. And the thing is, you can't prove you have love for one another by wearing your t-shirt, right? You wear the t-shirt, I love people, or you have all kinds of markings like, you know, a cross or different things we might wear, or even carrying our Bible. You know, it's interesting because all of those things do not demonstrate that you love God and you love other people. Now, here's the crazy thing. If you say you love Jesus, and I bet most of you say, man, I love Jesus. But I've actually had some people say, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. Ever heard that? Remember, there's some people who actually live life and they say, man, I love Jesus, but I just don't go to church. You know, things like, the most common phrase, right? Boy, there's a bunch of hypocrites at church. Can you say amen to that? There are. Oh, can I just get you to relax? There are hypocrites in church. There are people who just do really dumb things at church. Matter of fact, there are people who say things and do things that just, you kind of wonder, wow. And so those are good reasons not to go to church, right? Right, if that's true, we don't want to hang out in places where those things go on, right? Wouldn't you agree with that? Can you say amen to that? So why do you go to work? Oh, I'm sorry. Work is so much better than church. I mean, my guess is when you walk in the shipyard, there is no hypocrisy. My guess is everyone's wonderful there. You know, when you go to work at the school you might work at or the business or whatever it is, you walk in there and everyone's wonderful and loving and kind, and there no one does anything that's hypocritical, no one does anything mean, and so that's why we go to work every week. But God forbid we should go to church. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? We're almost kind of schizophrenic in our view of life and how we do things, that somehow we apply logic in one place and then it just does, it's not really logical, it doesn't work. So it's kind of crazy that you cannot say you love Jesus at the same time say, I don't love the church. That is a contradiction. And I understand it. I understand all that goes behind that. But the fact is, you and I, if we love Jesus, then we love his church. And besides, church is a great place to get used to what you're going to be hanging out with for forever. Because if you're wondering who's going to be in heaven, just look around. Okay, don't look around. Now, in case you're wondering, I didn't make this up. 1 John chapter 4, it says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, I love this statement, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Now, that is a very powerful statement, isn't it? You see, here's something that is, if you want to be spiritually healthy, and if you want to grow as a spiritual person, this is something that is from God's word. It's a fact. You and I grow while we're in community. I know this is going to sound crazy to some of you, but you will not grow by yourselves. It is an impossibility to become a healthy believer and be all by yourself in isolation. Matter of fact, how can you be a disciple all by yourself? By the very virtue of everything throughout the Word of God, discipleship involves a small group interacting together while following Jesus. Somehow we get this crazy idea that I don't need nor should I have to hang out with anybody. And here's the thing. All I need is Jesus. Now, there's part truth in that, because Jesus is the only one that can save us. He's the only one that's going to bring us into this amazing place called heaven and give us eternity. But the fact is, he also said that our growth, our health happens in an interactive environment. And that's one of the reasons why we have small groups. That's why we gather as a church. That's why we do what we do. Because the fact is, if you don't do these things, your growth will absolutely, definitely be hindered. I mean, Jesus made it very clear that healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. And in case you're wondering, that's all of us. No one, well, I don't know. Does anyone here have it all together? I need to know who you are. The cameras are on. We have evidence. So go ahead, declare yourself. I have it all together. I don't need anyone. Everything's fine. Some of you are laughing. You're hitting each other. So, okay, some of you are still hidden in the truth of this, right? You don't want to put your hand up. Okay, I get it. See, we've been put on earth to love God and each other. Small groups are absolutely amazing. And I realize for some of you, they're totally terrifying. And I get it. But here's the thing is, you know, it's kind of hard to love people in a crowd. This would be a crowd, right? How do you love a crowd? But you can love one another in a small group. And some absolutely amazing things can happen. And you just cannot be involved in Christ and not do his mission and be involved in his mission. I mean, church is not about listening to a message and teaching and training alone. I mean, church is about getting involved. If you get involved in ministry with Jesus, that means you get involved with people. There's just no other way to do this. And Scripture is so absolutely clear. Now, I put together, and I did this like a long time ago, and I just, a bit of review, and I sort of cleaned it up a little bit, but, and I just did the New Testament. I mean, it was kind of, I mean, if you took the entire Bible, this we would have probably 10 slides, but I just took a few of them, and you can see our relation with Jesus means we get involved with other people. These are just the passages that directly talk about what I'm addressing right now. I'm not making this up, that we belong to one another, we're devoted to one another, we live at peace with one another, we accept one another, we look out for one another, we serve one another, next slide, we bear with one another, we're compassionate to one another, we submit to one another, we forgive one another, next slide, we love one another, we encourage one another, we spur one another on, we confess our sins to one another, we pray for one another, next slide, and again, we love one another, we live in harmony with one another, so what do you think? How many times does God have to say we need to do this till we finally get it? So let me be clear to you. If you're living in isolation and you're not involved, I know this is going to be a little hard right now. You ready? You are in sin. Because you are in disobedience to the Word of God and not following through with what God has called you to do. And you are not going to be spiritually healthy. You are in violation. I mean, literally 147 times the Word of God says we are called to be a community and interact as a community. And that means we interact with, and that's, and you and your wife are not a community. That's a marriage. And marriages, I got to tell you right now, are so much healthier when involved in a healthy community. I can prove that to you. And we have done this over and over again of how vital and important. You want a healthy marriage? Then you bring that marriage into a community environment. Because again, couples who try to isolate themselves and do it all alone are going to be unhealthy couples. 98% of the time. I granted there's always a few weird exceptions. But usually even those exceptions have community around them. This is something that God has called us to do and for you and I live. If we are going to continue to be spiritually healthy, then this is a part of something that we have to do. It really is. The second thing that we learn about spiritual health is transform living serves. And so we must serve others unselfishly. And so once again, the Word of God makes it absolutely clear that we're called, again, this is the active, practical reality of what it means for you and I, that in order to grow, you need to give back. I mean, when you think about it, even our government acknowledges the truth of that. I mean, you think about it, how often do you see a commercial, and they're out every now and then, about volunteerism and how important it is to get out there and volunteer and do all these things. Well, that's a biblical truth that, in fact, tells us that if you and I want to be healthy, if you want to have strong spiritual muscle, I mean, some of you really work out a lot, and you want to have lots of muscle and have a six-pack and all that. Well, you can have a spiritual six-pack. You know how you do that? Serving one another. By getting out there and developing the opportunity of giving. You know, look what Scripture says in Mark, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So even Jesus says, I've come to serve. And so what happens when you think about worship is one of the most important things we do. Can you say amen to that? That's really important, right? Worship. Well, following worship, the two primary purposes of life is to serve and to give like Jesus. If you're wondering, so what happens after worship? Service and giving. And when you and I start living that way, now we start becoming healthy. Here's what happens. You are going to be blessed when you do things like that. Serving is spiritual exercise. And how often are we told or... Man, I'll talk to someone and say, you need to get out and exercise. You will feel better. I just know if you get out and walk or just physically, you will feel better. Well, I can tell you, some of you are spiritually depressed. I have an answer. Start serving. There's something very cool about helping others. and realizing that there are others in need. And you know, it's, and I'm being a little bit facetious, but you know, you can always find someone worse off than you. And that'll help you feel better. Because now you can honestly say, I'm not the worst one going on here. Because some of you think like you're in the worst shape of anybody. Well, I want you, I can find someone for you that can prove you wrong. And how you do that is by serving. Can you say amen to that? The idea is we want to serve one another and help one another and begin to fulfill what God's called us to do. And so we need to develop some spiritual muscle. And transformed living passes on the message of Jesus to others. If you're going to be healthy, then we must pass on the good news. That's something very significant about how important it is that we need to tell others that in order to be spiritually healthy, we need to tell others about their purpose, talk about forgiveness, and help them find their way to heaven. That's part of what God's called us to do. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that you have heard from among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men or women who will be able to teach others also. Here is a passage that says we need to pass on the message. If you think about it, that's actually being passed on four times over. God gave a message to Paul. Paul gave a message to Timothy. Timothy gave a message to someone else, and that someone else passed it on to somebody else. In other words, it doesn't stop. And how many of us are living life where the message has stopped with you? All of a sudden, it's hit a dead end. You know, we're all going to go to heaven someday. Wouldn't it be cool to have someone come up to you in heaven and say, thank you for sharing Jesus with me. I never would have been here if it wasn't for you. I mean, when's the last time you shared the message of Jesus? When's the last time you and I spoke? And the Word of God says so clear, therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and it says, teach these to new disciples to obey all the commandments I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I got to, it is so cool sharing Jesus. I had a chance last week, Thursday, at about 4 o'clock to share Jesus with a young lady. I just started crying. I just said, I just want you to know God loves you. And here's the deal. You need Jesus. We had been talking about some things, and just with tears, and she said to me, how? I said, it's just easy. Just began with prayer. And she said, so what do I do? Well, we just pray. And then she prayed. I walked her through prayer, and she just brought her life into this place with Jesus. And it was like, man, a baby was born right in front of me. You see a minute of that? That's like kind of cool. I like babies. But I like you not being a baby forever. Can you see a minute of that? Babies, real babies are cute. And believer babies are cute too. You're cute when you're a baby. Right? You say cute things and all of the, we love all that. But then you grow. Then you grow. You know, there's something so important about the growth that takes place. When's the last time you had that experience? When's the last time you had the experience of witnessing birth right in front of you? You, not like in a church, but you sitting one-on-one with someone because you've been praying with them for years, you've been talking with them, a family member, a friend, a loved one, and then the moment came where you sat there and you had a chance to watch Jesus come into someone's life. And if that hasn't happened for a long time, I love you, but you are not spiritually healthy because that cannot happen unless you're involved doing that. That is not my job alone. That is all of our jobs. Can you say amen to that? Pretty challenging stuff, isn't it? Because for a lot of us, this becomes such a huge struggle. Because we live in a world today where it seems like everyone's pushing us away. If you and I are going to be spiritually healthy, then you and I need to get out there and share our faith, talk about our story, let people hear about the amazing things God is doing. And you know what's neat about all of this is that we've got help all the way through this. Because transformed living has the Holy Spirit functioning in your life. I mean, what an amazing gift God has given to us. See, spiritual health has the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives that's fully operational. And when that is, you will be healthy. I love what John tells us in chapter 14, verse 16. It says, "And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." What's he talking about? Well, this amazing thing happened after Jesus, remember, he went to the cross and he died. But he rose. The tomb was empty. Can you see him into that? Wow, that was weak. Jesus is alive. Amen?
Amen?
I'm warming you up for Easter. That is the greatest thing for all humanity. Jesus is alive. If it wasn't for that, we just really don't need to be here. And not only is he a resurrected Lord, he ascended into heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of the throne. And he is there, and there's this, he's an advocate. He speaks, he's there for us. And he said, "Now I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit." In Luke chapter, turn to Luke chapter 24. I'm not going to bring all of this. I just want a small slice, but you want to look at the whole thing. If you look at Luke 24, starting at verse 36, I mean, here's just an amazing moment that happens. And we have Jesus, he's resurrected now, and we're on the road to Emmaus, and in verse 36, we see that he appears to the disciples, and this is just before the ascension. This last chapter in Luke is one of those, your homework assignment, read it. It's just an amazing chapter that leads right into so much more. But previous to that, you can see early on, he's on the road to Emmaus, which is a village about 7 miles, if you didn't know that, from Jerusalem. And the disciples are walking, a couple of disciples are walking along the road, and they're talking, and Jesus appeared to them. And basically, he just hangs out with them. He's resurrected, and he's talking with them, eating with them, and the word says, man, their eyes were opened. Can you imagine? Every now and then I close my eyes, I think, what would it have been like to be walking away from basically his death, at this point not knowing he's been resurrected? Not aware. I mean, rumors are flying right now, but you haven't seen it. All you know is the story. All you know is the maybe of it. And you're walking along, and all of a sudden, this guy joins you, and all of a sudden, he shows up, and you wonder, who is this? And he says, well, I'm Jesus. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Go ahead, you can touch me. Why does he do that? He's not a ghost. He's not some spiritual aberration. He's real. Because flesh you can't touch. I mean, flesh you can touch, spirit you can't, right? And so he says, go ahead and know that there's no doubt. And on top of that, he eats. And why does he eat with them? Like, was he hungry after all the work of resurrection? I mean, after all that work, you got to be hungry, right? What would you want to eat? Big Mac? No, of course not. So he does this to prove that it's real, because ghosts don't eat, spirits. But here he is demonstrating to them, I am real. This really did happen. And everything I've said is real. And we have the amazing testimony, everything is real. Now look what it says in verse 44. He said to them, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms must be fulfilled. Everything you've ever been studying is all real. He opened their minds to understand the scripture. He said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah, which is me, would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. By the way, it's all happened. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. Now I'm talking to you. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. and you're the witnesses of all these things. So here's what I'm going to do for you. Now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. Stay in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you. And look what it says, with power from heaven. Wow. He's speaking to you and I, to the church today. We have the most powerful force and strength available to mankind, and yet we act like a bunch of wimps. We act like we don't have any of this power from on high. We act like we are running around scared to death that we should say or do anything, forgetting this amazing power and resource that we have. Zechariah said, not by might nor by power, but by spirit to the Lord Almighty. In other words, not by our power, our ability, but by what God has given to us. The Holy Spirit is something that is in us, available, that comes through, that gives us all the resource necessary. There are so many things we could talk about. That's why we had a series. And I mentioned to you last week how to spend the day with the Lord. This series is out there. And the Holy Spirit, the weapons of our warfare. We spent an entire day looking at everything that I don't have time to do right now. But if you miss this, you can get this. It's available. Because everything that I'm trying to communicate to you, it's all there, right? We got a manual. We got DVD. You can study this for yourself. But let's just remind ourselves of a couple of things. Listen, number one, the Holy Spirit helps us integrate and apply the truth to life, His truth to our life. You know, it's interesting. So look what it says, verse 26 of John 14. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, look what it says, He will teach you everything and remind you of everything I've told you. Can you submit to that? But here's the deal. He'll remind you of everything that He's told you. So here's what I understand from the scripture. You got to get in your brain first. See, a lot of us live life like somehow we think. See, Pastor Ken agrees with me. A lot of us live life as if somehow we think it's magically going to appear in our brain and we don't ever have to study the Word of God. Okay, let me be clear. You are wrong. God needs something to work with. It's kind of like giving. You know, you want God to bless you. God says, give me something to bless you with. That's why we tithe. That's why we give Him something of our time, talent, or treasure so He can return a blessing. But a lot of us live this amazing, crazy life like somehow we think God's going to just hand it to you and you have to do nothing. Okay, let me be very clear. Walking with Jesus requires your effort, your involvement, your participation. It's an everyday kind of a thing. So if you read the Word every day and you get it into your brain, at that moment when you need it, because it's already there, God will help you remember it. Can you say amen to that? God helps you with your short-term memory loss. But it requires that, and that's what the scripture is saying. It requires you and I to be involved. Think about it. If you are not reading the Word of God every day, then you are not filling yourself with the resource that you need that could be available at any moment. The second thing that I want to remind you of, the Holy Spirit builds our character through crisis. Interesting. Look what it says in Romans 5. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials. Oh, wow. Don't you love that statement? For we know that they help us develop spiritual muscle, endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Now, I'm not suggesting that we jump for joy when we go through problems and trials. But here's the crazy thing about being a healthy person spiritually. When you do have problems and trials, you react differently. You go, all right. You and I, God, we'll get through it. And it doesn't flatten you, and all of a sudden you're not now like totally unable to do anything. Oh my God, I'm having a trial. That's it, can't do anything. I quit. I have to take a spiritual vacation. I need to not be involved in anything. How often I heard how unhealthy that is. When you and I get through things, we endure it, we keep going. We may need to adjust a little bit, but we keep going, and we keep going, because God will build something in you. But if you keep giving up every time you hit a bump in the road, that's why you are not going anywhere. Is that straightforward enough? You just can't live life and be healthy and stop and start all the time. The scripture is very clear here. And look what it says. It goes on, it says, the Holy Spirit enables us to be more like Jesus. I love it. Don't you want, look at this stuff. The Holy Spirit in you produces in you this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I love the last one. That's my favorite. And how many of us would say, well, I don't have self-control. How can you say that and then at the same time say you have the Spirit of God in you? Well, I guess the Holy Spirit forgot to teach me that one. Now, I realize this is not going to be perfect, but these are things that are growing in you. If you're wondering what God's doing, He is doing and bringing in you love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I can tell you, when I first became a believer, and who I am today is very different. You'd be in shock to meet me 40 years ago. You'd go, wow. And you'd say, how did you ever get here, Steve? I have an answer, Jesus, Spirit of God. Because trust me, no one around me thought I'd be standing here as a pastor when I first received Jesus. Matter of fact, that's probably the last thing they thought I'd be doing. And not just because I'm from a Jewish home, but my life was just very different. You see, I want you to know God really does amazing things. And some of you, He won't have to work nearly as long and hard as He has on me. Some of you will get a lot easier. I'm just a little slow, but I'm getting it. I mean, I want you to begin to realize the Holy Spirit equips us for ministry. Look what it says there, 1 Corinthians. It says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but the same God who does the work in all of us. All right. And so you have the power to do what you need to do. Every one of you, if you're a believer and you receive Jesus, you have in you the Spirit of God. It was promised. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, Acts 1:8. Scripture tells us, whoever lives in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So, you receive the Holy Spirit, and God puts it all together, and now you have, having received Jesus, the Holy Spirit that has a flow like streams of living water. Can you say amen to that? So, let's do it a little differently. Let's take this and start living a healthy life. Can you say amen to that? And some of you, you need to get with it. It's just time to step up. Otherwise, you're stuck. And I have an answer to unstuck you. But I can't do this for you. No one can do this for you. You must make a choice to do this. I can't tell you how many times over my last couple decades of ministry, just here alone, I have said the words, okay, here it is, now do it. And people somehow act like somehow it's going to magically happen, and it doesn't work that way. You need to step up and start participating and doing it. I want to see you healthy. I want to see every one of us living that life that God has called us to. And I've just shown you over the last 2 weeks it's all possible to be spiritually healthy. Can you say amen to that? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that there would be the amazing, powerful conviction. Your word said that your Holy Spirit, one of the things the Holy Spirit does is convict us. And I pray for Holy Spirit conviction. That some of us here today would make a clear decision. Get involved. Get involved with you. To make a clear decision to do what's necessary to be spiritually healthy. Lord, some of us, we've received you. Man, we love you, God. And somehow, some way, we just got stuck and we're not moving. We're dead in the water. I pray that the Holy Spirit will come and breathe freshness. And Lord, it'll start moving again. And I pray the truth of it will hit us. It's our own fault. It's not the church's fault. It's not someone else's fault. It's simply we've allowed ourselves to get into that position. I pray for those who are in that position. Today it changes. I want you to just with your heads bowed, think about where you are, what's happening in your life, and be, listen, with your heads bowed, be genuinely honest with yourself and with God. You know if you're moving or not. And if you're not moving, then I invite you to step up and do what you're supposed to do. This is a holy moment between you and Jesus. Lord, I just pray that you put wind back into the sails of some of those who are just stuck right now. I pray you'll put movement back. Lord, that would bring that freshness, that renewing, that would bring, again, health spiritually. A choice would be made right now. Start moving again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If that's something you're doing right now, and again, heads are bowed, I just want to specifically pray for you. It's such a big deal. This is huge for some of us. And perhaps the way to start moving is to take a step. And that step would be you standing right where you are and saying, okay, that's my first move. That's my first step, is just to come to your feet. Let me invite you to do that right now. If that's something that you and I could pray for, just come to your feet. And you just simply say, by standing up, all right, that's my first step. I'm going to start moving again. I need to start moving again. Just stand up. That's all you need to do. First step, stand up. And then we'll pray. realize you're stagnant, you're stuck in the water, and you're just asking God, start blowing wind in my sails. Let's start moving. All I got to do is stand. And we're going to pray. God's going to do that. Come to your feet. Another moment, and we're going to just start praying. I know God honors this. Lord, thank you that for leaves who are standing, it's so clear that, Lord, we know why we're standing. God, bring wind back into our life, the sails. Let them just begin to fill, that we start moving again. Because we choose, Lord God, to turn our rudder back into a position that puts us moving again. And I pray for those who are standing would be able to follow through on this first step to the next step and the next step until, Lord, they are way down the path and they can see growth taking place. Lord, we're here to grow. We're here to learn. And I just pray you will honor those who have stood with this commitment, Lord, with this strength, with what they need right now. And thank you for that. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you do and the amazing things you do. In Jesus' name.